It's good to be with you again. Many people believe that in order to become liberated, you have to take some sort of action. This couldn't be further than from the truth. In truth, you are already liberated. And all you have to do to find your true nature is to renounce all activities. Not to be active, but to renounce mentally. When you renounce everything, what is left over will be the substratum of all existence, which is absolute reality, pure awareness, the true self. When I say renounce, I do not mean you have to leave your family, go sit in a cave, on a mountaintop. I mean renounce mentally. Have nothing to do with your body. Your body will take care of itself. But mentally have no feeling for or against anything. You become neutral. The less attention you pay to the world, the greater realization comes upon you. The more attention you give to the world, the more delusion comes upon you. There's an ancient story about a group of rishis who live in the forest. They were performing all kinds of rituals, occult practices, in order to develop supernatural powers and become liberated. Now Shiva and Vishnu happened to be walking through the forest. They observed this. Vishnu said to Shiva, "Let's go down and tell the rishis the mistake they're making." And Shiva retorted, "No. Those rishis are too dogmatic in their views. You can't say anything to them. They think they know what they're doing. But I have a plan." Shiva turned into a handsome lad of about 24, well built, easy to look at. And Vishnu turned into a beautiful maiden, vivacious, provocative. And then they walked down into the rishi's camp. When the rishis saw the beautiful maiden, they immediately fell in love with her and stopped doing their occult practices. The rishis had wives. And when the wives saw the handsome young man, it was really Shiva, they also immediately fell in love with him. There was complete confusion, chaos. And two of the rishis said, look what these two people have done to us. We'll fix them. And they conjured up an elephant and a tiger to attack them. But Shiva's power was greater. He turned the elephant into a rope that he tied around his waist. And he turned the tiger into a tiger skin where he sat down. Immediately the rishis and the wives realized who they were. And they paid obeisance to them, sitting down for instruction. Shiva said, you can never attain realization by practicing occult austerities. You can never attain realization by being active. It is only as you renounce everything, then you awaken to your true self. Now let's talk about you. Many of you have been performing yoga practices, meditations, chanting, pranayama, and various techniques in order to awaken. But I say to you, this will never cause you to awaken. It will bring you good feelings. It will bring you a semblance of peace. But you will never awaken through the practice of yoga unless the yoga leads to self-inquiry or at least to complete surrender of the ego. If you practice anything else, it inflates the ego. Take for an example a person who practices Hatha Yoga. They become better and better. And their ego inflates. And they say, see what I can do? I can tie myself into a pretzel. I can put one foot around my neck and stay like that for 3 years. Yet what does it do to you as far as your awakening goes? Nothing. All you're really doing is prolonging the body by a few years. And since everything is preordained, it really doesn't matter. You shouldn't conceive of new ways to build up your body or your mind, to improve your intelligence. You should rather renounce those things and realize you are not the body-mind phenomena. And renounce everything that tells you who you are. Do not go after occult practices. That's the worst thing you can ever do. For you will be stuck in the occult for thousands of incarnations. We'd rather become free of the whole thing. Remember, when I say to you, renounce everything, I'm speaking of mentally, not especially physically. For where you are now, that's where you belong, physically. Everything is preordained. You are in your right place. If you don't like where you are, the only way to get out of it is to mentally renounce it by turning within. Going into your heart on the right side of your chest and becoming liberated. Everything else is a waste of energy. Take a look at your life. What do you do with your life? With yourself? How do you spend your days? Whatever you do determines what happens to you from there on in. You should practice to stop your thinking. Stop the thinking process. Stop thinking right now. Do you feel how good that is? When you stop your thoughts, there is no yesterday and there's no tomorrow. There's only this moment. And if you keep your thoughts still, this moment will turn into tomorrow. Get rid of opinions, judgments. Even while most of you are sitting here tonight, and while I'm talking, you have an opinion. This is what keeps you from awakening. What difference does it make? See the truth within yourself. Know who you are. You are not the frail body that gets older every year and has so many years to live on this earth. That's not you. Do not think of that. But rather, turn your thoughts within yourself. Turn yourself inside out. listen to your mind. Listen how it tells you how things are supposed to be. Watch your thoughts. Observe. Notice that you have no control of your mind. Because your thoughts are telling you how things are. And you're listening. Therefore, there has to be a way to stop this. And the way is to ask yourself, to whom do these thoughts come? Who's thinking these thoughts? Of course you will say, I am. Who am I? What is the source of I? While you're doing this, if other thoughts come to you, do the same procedure. To whom do these thoughts come? They come to me. I think them. Who am I? What is the I? You're focusing on the I. As you continue to say I to yourself, you will notice that the I goes right into your heart, on the right side of your chest. When that happens, all of your thoughts will stop. You will become quiet. The mind will become quiescent, still, like a motionless lake. How good that makes you feel. It's good to get rid of the anger, the hate, the animosity, the doubt, suspicion. All that will go when you follow the eye to the heart. you have to ask yourself, who's following the eye? Who is it that follows the eye? I've been following the eye. Who am I? You never answer that. You simply ask the question again and again. To whom comes the eye? If the thoughts start again, you ask to whom do the thoughts come? You do the whole procedure over and over again. Let's practice that. Close your eyes. And as the thoughts come to you, ask yourself, to whom do they come? They come to me. I think them. Then who am I? 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 They come to me. I think them. Then who is this I? What is its source? Who am I? 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 Would anyone like to share the experiences they had?
Yes, I would, Robert. It occurred to me when I was asking myself, who am I? That if I answer that question by saying I'm a white American male sitting in a living room in Los Angeles, I thereby cut myself off from all other beings, both sentient and otherwise. Whereas the reality of this situation, there's no separation from any, between any individuals or inanimate objects, that we're all part of equal parts of the universal consciousness. In other words, I might say I'm a drop in the ocean of consciousness, in as much as consciousness is the only reality. Is that a pretty accurate?
Too much rhetoric.
Okay, that's what you told me last time.
Everything should be very simple.
Okay.
When you do the procedure correctly, your mind becomes quiet, still. There are no words. When you experience absolute reality, there's no one left to experience. And there's nothing to say. Therefore, all the things you're telling me are well and good, but they come out of your mind.
They're not out of my heart.
Your heart wouldn't tell you that. When you come out of your heart, you become silent.
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 Sir.
Silent, quiet.
Silent, yeah.
When you come out of your head, all kinds of stories come. Some good, some bad. And that's your ego playing tricks on you. Therefore, when you start thinking those thoughts, even though they're virtuous thoughts, you must ask yourself, to whom do they come? And start all over again.
Thank you.
George.
Robert. It was fun. Like always, we come to a wall and don't quite go through. A problem came up, and instead of thinking about the problem to make a choice that I need to make, I said, to whom does this thought come? And so we kept going back into the eye, and we never faced up to that so-called problem, never made a choice. My question to you, Robert, is, from this day forth, every time that problem for which I need to make a choice comes up, can I say, to whom does this thought come? And keep going back into the eye and never think about it, and yet when the time comes that that has to be dealt with, again say, to whom does this thought come? And stay in the eye, and then the choice will be taken care of automatically with no thought?
Exactly.
Thank you. Boy, does that take guts, but we're going to try to go for this. But I'm driving a car, too, while I'm doing this. Is this dangerous?
Be careful.
It's fun.
There is a power which animates your body. Your body doesn't exist. But as long as you believe that it exists, it will be well taken care of without your help.
To someone who's telling me to do something or asking me, instead of trying to give him an answer, can I just stay with the I thought and the correct words will just come out?
And if you can stay with the I thought,
yeah,
everything will take care of itself. There's really nothing else you have to do but to stay with the I, abide in the I.
This is the most fantastic challenge I've ever faced.
It shouldn't even be a challenge. It should just be an experience. There's no one competing against anyone. And there's no one challenging. You simply ask the question, trace the I thought to the source, and awaken.
slower pace than with thinking?
Everything slows down. Time slows down, space slows down.
But will it take me 3 hours to do a job that ordinarily takes half an hour?
It has nothing to do with your body. Your body will go along the way it's supposed to and do everything better. But your mind will stop. You will become all-pervading, omnipresent.
Will the same amount of time elapse?
As far as your body is concerned. I realize it's difficult for some of you to imagine how it is to function without a mind. And yet look at the tree. Look at the sun. Look at the stars. The earth. Everything is happening in the right way in order to sustain and maintain life. Who thinks? There are no thoughts. It's just a happening. Everything just is. In the same way, your so-called physical body is part of the Maya, of the illusion. It will be carried along, maintained and sustained, without thoughts. As soon as you begin to think, you spoil it. After all, what is the mind? Simply thoughts of the past and worries of the future. Never identify with your problems. Always identify with pure awareness, your real nature, consciousness, emptiness. want to do something. You want me to say something profound. But I tell you, there's nothing profound under the sun to say. Everything is simplicity. There's nothing to do. There's no place to go. There's no thing to become. You are that. Just the way you are. Awaken to your true self, which is what you are right now. In other words, there are not two of you. There is not your body and Brahman or consciousness. There is only consciousness. And that is what you are, just the way you are. Right now. There's really nothing you have to do. Wake up. There's really no practice you have to partake in. Wake up. I know it sounds contradictory sometimes when I tell you there's no practice you have to partake in. And then with the other breath I tell you you've got to practice self-inquiry. But it's really not a contradiction. For as long as you believe you are not the self, then you have to practice something until you know you're the self. If I didn't give you anything to practice, what would you do with yourself? You'd worry, you'd fret. You'd think of all sorts of negative things. So when you practice, to whom do these thoughts come? Who am I? It makes you one-pointed. It improves your concentration, where you can finally open your eyes and say, I am free, just the way I am. I have always been free. There never was a time when I was not. And there will never be a time when I will be not.
Realize the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He is firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchitananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the jnani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth, but remains where he is and what he is, and eternally was the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the jnani rests in his own essential nature, his own svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a jnani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. A jnani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchitananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Someone else will know.
Robert, when she reads that, you don't think about the words or the meanings. What is your experience?
No experience.
You hear the words, and instantly, do you know the meaning, or is no meaning involved?
No meaning involved.
Then what's the difference between her saying those words and Johnny is a little boy who fell down the stairs and broke his nose?
You mean as far as I'm concerned?
Yeah.
There's no difference.
Wow. Life just goes on for you, and everything is just okay.
If you say so.
And there'd be no difference in your reaction if to what her words compared to someone came in, walked in with a gun and said, I'm counting to three and killing you now.
There's no difference.
No difference.
Excuse me. May I say something? Didn't you hear the words when it says the jnani rests in his own Satchitananda Svarupa? That's what it is. So it doesn't matter what anybody says.
What's Svarupa?
Your nature. Your nature. Your real nature.
Good word.
Sounds good.
Mm. Sounds good.
Different people in this room ask you different questions, and you give different answers without thinking. You just move your mouth, or the mouth moves, and the different words come out without thought. Is that right?
What can I do? I can't help it.
That's all right. I'm just trying to...
You're a hopeless case.
I'm all finished.
all burned up.
Something in you must hear a difference in the different questions so that different words come out.
Mm.
But you're oblivious to that something that hears a difference and knows a different answer, words of a different answer must come out.
Take the example of the blackboard. And the images of the world are written on the blackboard. But the blackboard receives the image within itself. It is everything else. Therefore, when a certain image is put on the blackboard, the answer is different due to the fact that the image is the blackboard and the blackboard is the image. So when you come to me and ask me something, the blackboard gives the answer that you need because you're already in the blackboard. There's one knower. And when Henry asks me something, Henry's also in the blackboard, but there's still only the one. But when the answer comes out, it is an answer specifically for you because it takes human form. It becomes the image. When it goes out. So every word that goes out is an image. So you're specifically answered for the question that you ask. Therefore, if five people ask me the same question, I will give five different answers, depending where they're at. I don't know if it's beautiful, that's the way it is.
Well, it's custom made. That's what's beautiful.
That's your opinion.
When you give the five different answers, you don't think about what's appropriate. The answer just comes. Is that correct?
That's right. If I have to think, there would have to be a thinker. That means that the mind would have to be active. Therefore, you can say, consciousness answers, not the mind. But again, that's a paradox. Because consciousness has nothing to say. But as far as you're concerned, the answer comes from consciousness. But in reality, only consciousness exists, nothing else. So the question and the answer are one.
This isn't a stupid question, but if you go into a market, do you go shopping anymore?
Sure.
Okay, if you go to a market and there's three different coffees, right, and there's three different, one's 12 ounces and one's 13 ounces, and one's 14 ounces, and one's 109, and one's say 29, and one's... Do you do the math?
No. I just grab whatever's convenient.
But is that the way it's done? Could you conceivably do the math and say, well, look, I've only got $6 in my pocket here, so I have to get certain things here, so maybe I should get the smaller size coffee. Do you go through?
No, all that takes care of itself. I pick whatever I like, and it always sort of works out.
It always comes out right. Do you ever leave the place with you intended to go in and get a stick of butter and six other things, but you couldn't afford the butter?
Nope.
You don't?
Hmm.
Jeez, that happens to me all the time.
That's because you're calculating too much.
The other question is, do you ever end up having to wash the dishes?
No. That's why I stay where I am. Because I don't have to wash dishes.
Could one be enlightened and still be like a mathematician or a physicist?
Definitely.
So you could, well then, would you be using your mind as a tool and regard it as the self?
Nope, you wouldn't be using your mind at all because there would be no mind to use. But automatically the things will be done that have to be done because your body in the world comes under the law of karma. And karma takes care of everything. So if you were meant to be a physicist, your body would become a darn good physicist, but you would have nothing to do with it.
But you would witness it.
Yeah.
I'd like to try another question.
But when the physicist student is reading a book, would he be assimilating the knowledge without thinking?
He would be reading the book like everybody else does. But it is consciousness that reads the book. And the knowledge is in consciousness. So whatever he needs to do will be done.
Without thinking.
No mind, no thoughts.
Well, isn't that true for a physicist, whether he's enlightened or not, he's doing without his mind?
No, because a physicist has to think about the project he's working on. But an enlightened physicist will do the work, but the same thoughts will not be there. The work will just be done in the now.
But isn't that the same with the unenlightened physicist? When they're not thinking about themselves, but they're just like getting the concepts, just learning it?
It appears that way, but an unenlightened physicist has to remember certain things and has to do certain things at the time they're working, and their mind is always active. Whereas the enlightened physicist, their mind is not active at all, but they're still doing certain things in the same way. But it's quite different. In the last analysis, no one is doing anything. It appears as if things are being done. But there's no one doing a thing.
But there's a physicist, it seems like there's sort of three levels. There's nothing's happening, it's all a dream. Then there's just the doing of the physicist, like the light was. And then the unenlightened seems to be doing that, plus doing something else with his mind.
The unenlightened always appears to be doing something with his mind and can be disturbed and stopped. But the enlightened physicist will not get disturbed over anything, but will continue the project until the end. And will not even think about it. I know it's difficult to think how this can be, how you can do a project without thinking. That's why I say it's difficult to think about it. If you do not think about it, it'll come easier.
It seems to me it's hard to think of getting a project done while thinking about it. It seems like everything gets done without thinking, and then afterwards you thought you did it.
That's true. You will do your work, it will be done, and the enlightened person will not even think about it, did it.
But it seems like the unenlightened is the same thing, but they think they did it.
Yes.
Why is it that if the body is yourself and the world is the self and the table and everything around you is the self, why shouldn't your thoughts be the self as well? Why should not thinking be something to be aspired to? Why not just regard thought as being something different than what you are?
Due to the fact thoughts come from your mind only. When there is no mind, there are no thoughts. But as long as you have a mind, the whole world appears the way it is. And you believe you are a body. You believe there's a world, there's a universe. You believe there's a God and there's everything that you see. It all emanates from your mind. When the mind is killed, all that disappears, and there are no thoughts. But your body continues its work, so it appears.
At the same time, a week or two ago, you were talking about thoughts still occur, but you're just not attached to them, that you identify with the reality. You're not fooled by them.
Well, I hear people speaking, and I read what's going on in the papers, and I watch TV sometimes. But there are no thoughts that linger. Whatever I watch, whatever I see, whatever I hear, it's like goes in one ear and out the other.
So it's all
spontaneous. Therefore, nothing is ever lingering, nothing is holding on. There's total freedom. Everything is just a happening.
Thoughts arise spontaneously and then you just release.
No thoughts arise at all.
What is there not to linger in?
What I see, what I hear. I'm looking at you. But the thought of you does not linger. It is as if I'm looking at myself.
The thought is
Jay. It does not linger. Again, it's like the image on the blackboard. The blackboard is consciousness. The blackboard knows that there's an image written on the blackboard. But the blackboard does not think about the image. It's just oblivious to the image, but it knows that it's there. So I see you as well as I see everything else. But yet I am oblivious to everything. But everything is still happening. But there's nothing to hold on to. There are no thoughts to decipher anything. or to analyze anything, or to react to anything.
Is oblivious the right word?
Sure.
Because you are perceiving. There is perception.
There is perception to an extent. But there's also oblivion. By oblivion, I mean emptiness. Everything is devoid. Everything is emptiness. But yet I see all the images coming and going. And everything appears and disappears.
But you're not oblivious to the image at the moment it occurs. It doesn't linger, but there isn't obliviousness when it occurs, or
right.
There would be no...
In the moment there's not oblivious.
No.
That's true.
That's why I question the word oblivious.
Oblivious comes immediately after.
Yeah.
Like the unenlightened physicist who's so into his work he's enlightened for the moment until after the work is done. And then reflects on it.
And he still believes he's the doer.
Somewhat, but during the work, if the person's so involved, they even forget that. Temporarily.
Because they believe they're the doer. So they don't really forget it. They say, I did this project.
After.
I completed this, I did that, I'm great.
So it always lingers as a unconscious...
It's in the unconscious, the ego.
Yeah, still, yeah.
It's all part of the ego.
Out of the blackboard, out of reality, is there also the mental bodies, emotional bodies, the physical bodies that come out of the blackboard?
No.
Just the physical body coming out of the blackboard?
Just the physical.
But what about, I was saying of what you think you become, that's where you'll be. The thoughts also mean thoughts are energy, and the body is actually energy itself. You break it down to its essence. Is there also, isn't a thought of Ishvara?
That's all out of the mind. The mind creates Ishvara. The mind creates all these things. Therefore, when there's no mind, how can there be anything left?
Right, so that means the mental and the physical are the same, they're nothing.
Yeah.
If one, then would they both be gone?
They both are gone. They don't exist.
The Ishvara is the universe, and Ishvara is gone.
Ishvara is gone. Ishvara never existed to begin with. But if you want an Ishvara, you can have him.
Robert, do you ever forget your house keys?
No. Not really. But I don't think about them either.
How does this relate to certainty and uncertainty? It seems like the role of thinking is to deal with uncertainty. The greater the uncertainty, the greater the thought.
What do you mean?
Well, it seems like the reason we think is because there's something important we're not sure of, or it's an unknown. So it would seem that if you would stop thinking, that there would also either be then a sense of certainty, or there would be no more longer a question of uncertainty.
What you're saying is mental. That's the concept of the mind. But when there's no mind, there's no question of certainty or uncertainty. Those concepts don't exist. The mind has concepts. The mind wants to be certain about something, or it's uncertain about something. But when there's no mind, there's no one to have those experiences. All experiences are of the mind.
I guess whenever we start categorizing, when we start defining, that's all mind.
It's all mind.
Define the finite.
All mind.
mind and the me always go together. If the mind disappears, the me has to disappear too.
Yes. Mind and me.
Ego mind.
Yours and mine. They all go. Everything disappears. Do we have any announcements of any kind by the listeners?
About the lesson, we have been handing out the transcriptions, and I don't know if they're being made and brought back or not. If they are, they go awfully fast.
Mary thinks she's giving out transcriptions for somebody to make copies so we can all get some. But they never come back for some reason.
Some of them don't come back. I do get 10 made myself every time. I have to give Robert 5 of them, and then I keep 1 for myself, and I give out 4 because Robert sends them to people who write to him and all. So I do make my 10 every time I hand these out. And I think they're very, very good myself. They're well worth reading over. They've helped me tremendously, I know. And this time, we have another good one. It's the Don't Quit and How to Count. This is very, very nice. Robert had given me these to put on the transcription. And I do have 4 more I would like to hand out.
I'll copy them.
What did you mean? Thank you. Oh, thank you. My gosh.
You want 10 copies?
Yes. Please. Oh, thank you, Norman. Okay. 10 of each of these.
Just 10 of these.
Okay. See, we want everybody to get them, so we should make about 50, 60 altogether. So if 5 or 6 people make 10, we'll have enough for everybody.
I was going to do it myself. If you want to do it, go ahead. What's to help you?
I do have a lot of them I'm working on, and I do have some ready to bring again, but I hate to bring so many because I don't like to overface people with this. But they're so well worth it that I think it's... And I know all of you do like to read them. So I'll just keep bringing them, and...
Sure.
I will appreciate it. I know Robert will appreciate it. So everything can happen.
Robert doesn't care at all, one way or the other.
No, no, he doesn't.
Whatever makes you happy makes me happy. Anyone else like to make a statement? Throw a pie in my face? We've got prasad, yourself, to worship yourself, to kneel to yourself, because God dwells in you as you. God bless you. I love you. Peace. Until we meet again, I'm River Dirty.